Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm not sure exactly when you're listening to this, but this is the first episode of 2015 for me, and I'm so glad you decided to join me again. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is known internationally as the Newsletter Guru. He's a marketing expert, coach, and the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show watched by tens of thousands of entrepreneurs and small business owners. He is the founder and president of Custom Newsletters, Inc., parent company of No Hassle Newsletters and No Hassle Social Media, as well as five or six other companies in the marketing arena. He is the acclaimed author of five great books, including his latest book, Stop Waiting for It to Get Easier, Create Your Own Dream Business Now. Now, let's hack Jim Palmer. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks. More than just a sponsor, FreshBooks plays a huge role in keeping me and my business organized and profitable. And this is really, really obvious to me now, having just gone through another year end. Usually the end of the year would be an incredible headache for me and my accountant, but not this year. Now, rather than handing my accountant a giant box of papers and receipts, I simply email her my reports, journal entries, and it's not only easier, but it's way more cost-effective than paying her to sort through it herself. The best part was that it was so easy to learn how to use, and whenever I've had an issue, their support team is awesome. They're voted the number one customer support team in the world. With FreshBooks support, help is forever free, and I get to speak to a real, live human every single time. Try FreshBooks for free today and for 30 days with no obligation. Setup only takes a minute, no credit card is required, and you can cancel at any time. Go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section when signing up. And we are back with another amazing episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. We have a guest I'm really looking forward to talking to today. Jim, welcome to the show.
John, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Jim, let's jump right into this, shall we? Mm-hmm. As an entrepreneur, Jim, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Wow, great question. So everybody wants to know just one thing. The first thing that popped into my head, so I'll go with that, is that I get a lot of stuff done. Big mentor of mine, Dan Kennedy, said one time, he goes, I may not be a lot smarter than everybody else, but I am a lot more prolific. And what that means is he creates so much content, writes so many books, does so much, you know, value-driven stuff, putting it out in the marketplace, that people are just drawn to him. In fact, some people are drawn to him because they're amazed at how much he gets done. And so I've kind of followed that model since 2006, and doggone if I don't hear some of the same things. You know, Jim, you're doing videos, you're doing podcasting, you're doing your blog, you do your newsletters, you've written five books. How do you get it all done? So being prolific and getting stuff done, I think getting over yourself, knowing you don't have to be perfect, is a great way to build a business.
Excellent. And I was going to ask you that at the end. Is that because you've figured out that it doesn't have to be perfect, that kind of consistency of just creating that body of work is more important than making this one video or this one blog post absolutely perfect?
That's true. You know, I forget the exact phrase, John, but perfection is the enemy of progress, something like that. And I heard somebody say one time, as a matter of fact, when I wrote my first book, it took me 18 months. I can write a book now in about 5 to 6 months. And at the somewhere near my book was my first book was done, I heard somebody talk about this exact topic. And he said, you know, if you go to a bookstore and you see a nice cover, maybe a title, you're scanning the, you know, maybe the business section or something, you see somebody's book and you thumb through it and you think it's a good book, boom, they made a sale. You're going to get some good information. But if you're an author who's still got a book in the word processor, you know, looking for every last, you know, grammar and spelling, you're not selling a book and you're not helping anybody either. And so one of the things that's been truly liberating for me as an entrepreneur is you say it a lot, get over myself. I mean, I am far from perfect. When I do my weekly videos, I make mistakes, but I just include them now. And, you know, I think there's a word that has a lot to do with that. I think it's called authenticity. And I think people are looking to connect with people, John, that are truly authentic. In other words, if you get on a video or maybe a podcast or do whatever, you try and just be like this perfect businessman and I'm just going to give you some really great sound advice. Well, that's not me. This is me, exactly how we're talking right now. And so what it really boils down to is whenever I will do something and I thought, you know, that's not 100% good, but I think, you know what, my body of work will support a clinker now and again. And not that I put out clinkers per se, but you know what I'm saying? I think the content makes up for the occasional gaffe.
Yes. And don't worry about it. I'll put all the clinkers for you. So not an issue at all. So Jim, there's a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make this something big and make a difference in the world, or they just simply, which I find actually is the most, is they just find they simply cannot work for somebody else. Can you tell me which two of these you are and how this evolved in your life?
Well, you know, I think the question you're asking is, how did I become an entrepreneur? And I became an entrepreneur like a lot of people. I lost my job and was kind of forced into it. You know, there's a good book out there. It's pretty old, but I think it was called Get Fired, Get Fired Up, something like that. And it talks about how many successful business owners today started a business because they lost their job. So I was kind of in that category because when I started my business 13 years ago, I still had four teenagers at home and direct deposit, you know, insurance, paid vacation seemed like a good idea. But so I knew I'd be an entrepreneur someday, but I guess I was forced into it sooner than I was ready. But I think another part of your question, which intrigues me, is, you know, do you want to make a big difference? And I think when you achieve some success as an entrepreneur, there's kind of two ways in my world. There's two ways you can go. You get where you're comfortable and maybe you coast a little bit more instead of the, you know, pedal to the metal, which you have when you're bootstrapping and starting out, or you can have something, you know, maybe it's called a big why, something that's really driving you to keep growing your business if you're in the spirit of serving others and giving back or just giving. And so that's kind of where I am now. You know, we've been blessed with some pretty nice success. But one of the things that drives me, John, is my wife and I have like three kind of really pet nonprofits or charities that we support. And the better we do, the more we're able to help these folks. So it's kind of nice when you have something that's maybe bigger than yourself, like a cause or something other than put zeros in the checking account, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I do. All right, Jim, this is going to take us to work. You run multiple businesses. You, as you say, you've written, I think, six books at this point. You have a lot of coaching clients, and you even run, I believe it's the Dream Biz Academy, and you guys do an event once a year. There's a lot of stuff. So it's a work day today. Can you walk us through the first 30 minutes of your day, what you do to set yourself up to be absolutely productive and get this done?
Yeah, it's a great question, you know, because it all has to do with productivity. So, you know, one of the things I think entrepreneurs, if you're going to accomplish a lot, you've got to know the value of your time and you have to have respect for your own time, because if you don't, nobody else will. So one of the things I do is when I get up, and I'm an early riser. I mean, I typically wake at 4:30. Sometimes if it's really cold, I'll stay in bed till 5 o'clock, but I kind of sit there in this, what I call, it's just my fresh and fertile mind. And I think about stuff uninterrupted. But when I get up, first thing I do is I always give thanks for the day, because not every day is guaranteed. I will then, for instance, right now, I've written five books. I'm writing my sixth book now. I typically write in the morning and I don't turn on TV. I don't look at Facebook. I don't open email. I don't even turn on music. I don't do anything when I'm in the writing mode that's going to detract from what I call this fresh, fertile mind in the morning, where I'm thinking about my book or whatever other project I'm working on, and I'll write. And then what I'll do after 90 minutes or so, I'll go exercise a little bit and have some breakfast, shower, get dressed, and get right back at it. And one of the things I do, even still today, is I work. I'm 56, so I kind of grew up in an era where you go to work, you work. And, you know, one of the things I described, you know, before you and I went live here, is I have in my schedule, my bookend days. I have Monday and Fridays are the days when I get a lot done uninterrupted. There's no calls coming in or out. And Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are when I'm doing interviews like this or coaching my entrepreneurial clients. So I really kind of I chunk time to do different things and everything is scheduled. I even schedule book writing and everything's on the calendar. So I know exactly what I'm doing all the time, which is probably a lot longer answer than you asked for in the first 30 minutes. But I wanted to give you a complete answer.
I like that. No, I appreciate the complete answer. And so you mentioned the chunking of time, you mentioned knowing the value of your time. And this goes to like where everybody's now talking about the 80-20 rule. Do 20% of the stuff is going to bring you 80% of the results, delegate the rest, or just get it off your plate. That's the stuff we're no good at. Or that's the stuff we're good at. Sorry, Jim. Can you tell me something that you, Jim, are absolutely terrible at in business?
Watching the numbers, and I don't mean like the accounting. You know, there's three things you do not delegate. You don't delegate your checkbook, you don't delegate your legal, and you don't delegate your marketing. Everything else can be delegated. So I have a team of 9 virtual assistants that help me do everything. But when it comes down to it, one of the things I'm not great at is knowing how many visitors to my website? How much time are they on there? What's the average conversion? How many downloads do I get with my podcast? How many people are watching my videos? I don't watch that stuff. And a lot of times I'll get into a mastermind and people will be throwing these numbers around. I'm like, oh boy, I don't know them. One of the reasons I don't, and it's not that I want to be ignorant about that, John, but I tend not to worry about it. And there's a couple of reasons. When I started out really early on, started my business, maybe there's one person on my list, maybe one person watched my video. Maybe I did it my first teleseminar and I saw 3 people in there and it kind of freaked me out. And so I stopped looking at the numbers way back then because I imagined in my head doing presenting to an audience of hundreds, if not thousands of people. So that's kind of my mantra. And I kind of judge how I'm doing by how well my business is doing. So if it's one thing I'm really bad at, it's tracking my individual numbers and kind of knowing exactly what all those stats are.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I like that. I like that you admit that part of it too. And you said something interesting that I would like to just step back to if we could. You said, don't delegate your checkbook, your legal, or your marketing. This sounds like something you've thought about before and something that you definitely know, right? I can see don't delegate your checkbook, fine, but legal and marketing, aren't those things that we are supposed to sort of delegate off to people?
Well, I don't know everything I need to know about contracts and things like that. So I do have a business attorney. I have a trademark attorney and things like that. But I don't have somebody, for instance, I wouldn't have an assistant say, hey, go check in on my trademark or see where we are with this contract. That's stuff that I need to do because it's my business. You know, when it comes to marketing, there are things that are done for me. I do a lot of Facebook marketing, but I am with a company and a guy who's just super smart at it. So I don't, he's got the budget. He knows what my goals are. And I have a trust with him that he's meeting those. And once a month, he'll give me broad brushstrokes because he's I'm not a minutia type of guy. So that's what I mean. But as far as the marketing, I mean, I'm the one doing my videos, my podcast, I'm writing emails, I'm doing this copy for the website. I do all of that because that's my voice, my image. As far as the task-oriented stuff, I do delegate that.
Nice. I love the clarification. And that's absolutely, it makes sense. And I like how I wouldn't get an assistant to go to legal and talk to them because it's my business. I love hearing you take ownership of your business, right? That's kind of what we have to do, I feel. So let's move on to struggles and failures. As entrepreneurs and as humans, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong, making mistakes, and failing. Jim, can you walk us through how to be wrong at something?
It is okay to be wrong. And if you're not failing, then you're not doing anything. So again, it's that whole get over yourself. The people who are highly successful, and even if you look at sports figures, John, I forget the exact stats. I told you I'm bad at stats, but you know, the guys who are the home run kings, I mean, they strike out far, like 5 or 10 times more than even their home run record. Same thing with basketball players, things like that. If you're not failing or doing anything wrong, then you're not doing anything. So it really does come down. You got to get over yourself and be comfortable with who you are. You know, I suddenly just had a little brain lapse there. I want to make sure I'm answering your question. Am I going in the right direction? Because I thought I was straying off there.
You totally are. You're teaching us how to be wrong.
Okay, cool.
How do you do it in your business and not get hung up on it to just be defeated, say, for a week or two and have your business fail?
One of the things is entrepreneurs need to develop a thick skin because the more you do, the more you are going to be a target. Now, for example, I know full well when I launch my next book, I will have probably 20 people will email me and say, oh, hey, Jim, like your book. Just want to let you know on page 19, you have S-O-N instead of S-U-N, you know, or something like that. Just thought you'd like to know, right? And that's how I read the email. And I think, okay, thanks. Now, next time I correct it in, you know, for the next printing, it's an easy fix. I can fix that. You know, I do weekly videos, been doing them for 5 years. I got an email. It's going back a couple of years, but I shoot emails everywhere. They're not your typical headshot. So if I'm out walking my dog Toby or on the lake, I'll have my monopod. So I'm just reshooting an episode of Newsletter Guru TV. One guy says, hey, Jim, love your videos. Been watching for a long time, but I got to tell you, I don't like the way you use Toby as a prop. And the second thing is I can hear him breathing. It's very distracting. And by the way, when you look down and talk to Toby, I think it's disrespectful when you look away from the camera. Just thought you'd like to know my opinion. And I'm like, okay, you know, delete, delete, delete. Because here's the thing, you know, the surest way to fail as a business owner is try and please everybody. And so what I came to conclude is that the more authentic I am, the more just be Jim. And I'm kind of, I like to laugh. I love to, you know, talk with folks like you and just, I just put it out there. And if somebody doesn't like my style, then that's okay. I'm not for everybody. And the only thing as a business owner is you hope to attract more people than you deflect or, you know, push away. But what the funny thing is, it's almost like that expression, John, the truth shall set you free. When you just be your authentic self, it's very relieving because you don't have to think of some facade. And so the thick skin is really, really important. And the final thing I'll say is there's an expression, the higher up the flagpole you go, the more your butt's going to hang out, but it's okay because the view is better.
Well said, well said. And it's true, like, and I've talked about this before, just like me in my business in the last year, I've realized that I don't have to be what I thought I had to be for business when I actually become like the true just Johnny myself and put that out to the world. Amazing things have come back to me and people have related to me in such a way that I didn't expect. And it's easy, right? It's literally just me. It's not me trying to be what I thought a business guy had to be. And you're absolutely right. That's,
you know, what's cool about that. I really want people to hear this when you are, I think you said you're Johnny B. Me or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not only relieving, but it makes it easier. And I think a lot of people, you know, we live in a kind of a celebrity driven culture. So people, oh, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. I like her smile. Why can't I play guitar like that? You know, everybody I think is born with a God-given skill or talent, a unique gift that they can bring to the world, whatever it is, everybody has something that they can contribute to society. And so when you just be yourself, be the best self you can, you are going to attract a certain amount of people. I know for a fact that, you know, probably a couple of years ago, I was talking with, it was an attorney actually in Philadelphia, and he was interested in my coaching program. And we're having a conversation like we're having it now. I could tell it was not going well because he has very kind of a corporate, maybe stoic personality mindset, you know, and I'm just much more entrepreneurial. I will say what I'm going to say. And, you know, I don't sugarcoat anything. And he just thought, if I'm going to pay you this money, I'd want a little more respect. Not that he said that, but that was the vibe I was getting, John. I said, look, you know, there's no question I could help you, but if it's not a good fit, it's not a good fit. That's totally fine. I didn't try and convince him or sell him on me or anything like that. You know, you're not meant to do business with everybody. You're only meant to do business with the people that you're meant to do business with.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And yeah. And I mean, there's so many people out there. We don't have to in any way appeal to everyone. Like there's going to be way more people out there that don't like who I am, but that doesn't matter. My business is growing because the people that are attracted to me are really, really, really attracted to me. And
yeah,
they really like what I'm doing and who I am, and they want to do business with me.
And by the way, let me kind of put a cherry on this conversation on the top there. You know, when people, I help my coaching clients write books and stuff. And one of the things they say to me, how do I become a bestseller? I said, why do you want to be a bestseller? Because I want to sell lots of books. I said, well, do you know how many books you actually need to sell to have a really great business? Well, no. I said, you need to sell as many books as you need to sell to have a great business. Now, let's be real. If your goal is to sell 20,000 books, I guarantee you can't do business with 20,000 people. And a lot of those people aren't going to be good for your business anyway, right? So I said, what if you sold 100 books and 50 of those people joined your coaching program? Would 50 people joining your coaching program change your world? Say, yeah. I said, then you want to sell 100 books. That's your goal. I mean, it's, you know, you actually want to sell more than that, but I'm saying don't go after these titles. You know, don't go after things that aren't necessarily going to help. It's just really for stroking your ego, and that's not the way to build a business.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, let's move into what I call projects. Projects can be anything depending on your business, but any sort of new direction or new thing you take on. You've written 5 books, you're writing your 6th, you have a business and mastermind coaching program, you have the No Hassle newsletter and social media, you have a lot of things. How now, Jim, would you decide personally as a business to take on, say, a new project altogether?
I'm going to share something with you now, John, and your listeners. That's probably going to be the most valuable thing they're going to get out of this entire conversation. And this is something that cost me tens of thousands of dollars because I was in a very high-end mastermind group. But this happened to me about 3 years ago, and it's still profound and true today. I joined this group, very, very, you know, skilled, kind of a few multi-millionaire type entrepreneurs, and I'm new to the group. And as a matter of fact, I was flying to the West Coast for our first meeting in January a couple of years ago. And I had at the time, same thing I have now, No Hassle newsletters, the social media, the printing, the coaching, and, you know, the different things going on. And when we got to the meeting, who wants to go into the meat grinder first, which is their way of saying who wants to present first, right? And I didn't want to sit there all day, you know, wringing my hands. So I said, well, I'll go first. And I had rehearsed. I gave a great present. Here's where I am in my business today. And I said, here's the 3 things I want to bring to market this year. And I kind of described them. And the lead guy, he just paused. He leaned back in his chair and he goes, Jim, let me ask you a question. Why do you want to do that? And I thought to myself, in my head, I thought, well, I thought I already answered that. You know, I gave what I thought was a better answer. And this is the advice he gave me. And it's so profound. He goes, Jim, if you spent half as much time marketing what you've already brought to market as you do trying to create new things, you are going to be so much farther ahead of the game. And I thought that was so profound, John, because I do have a lot going on. Now, entrepreneurs are creative by nature. We're always looking to create new things and build. It's exciting for us, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, much of a success as No Hassle Newsletters is, I probably barely scratched the surface as to the number of small business owners that can use that program just in this country. And so, you know, while it's fun to create, I've actually, since that meeting, outside of continuing to write books, I've barely created a new program in 3 years. And so the filter that I use if I'm going to create something, to give you an answer, is this going to deter me from meeting my goal and objective this year of, and whatever that number might be, whether I want a 20% increase or whatever it's going to be, if it's going to take me off that goal, then I choose not to create something new.
Fair enough. And it's interesting. So say the newsletter could be, I mean, an example, but how do you know, or how would you determine if the newsletter just only scratched the surface and didn't reach, like, penetrate deep enough into the market, or maybe that market just isn't that big, or I'm not hitting the market correctly? How do you make those differentiations?
Well, that's where it does pay to have a little intelligence upstairs. I mean, you got to know. I mean, my gut would tell me out of, and I don't even know the number, but let's say there's a million small businesses in the United States, and there's probably more than that. There's not a business on the planet that can't use a newsletter. So if I just go with that metric, that broad brushstroke, then I can have a lot more clients, right? If I look at my Dream Business Academy, which is a live event I do twice a year, and I look at the number of people coming to that, and I'm thinking, I am just scratching the surface. I either need to do more of these events or get bigger space or whatever, because the number of people that come that are getting helped is big, and I know I can have a bigger impact. So you kind of know. I mean, if I had, you know, 500,000 No Hassle Newsletter subscribers, I'd say, wow, this is, first of all, I probably wouldn't be talking to you. I'd be retired on some beach somewhere. But you know what I mean? I'm nowhere near that. And so I think, you know, intuitively, I mean, there's a possibility that somebody's listening to this and going, well, I know that program I have about how to grow grass and keep it meticulous so every blade is exact same height. Somebody's really, you know, passionate about well-manicured lawns. They're going to go, I know I've got a program because everybody's got grass. There are some ideas that just aren't going to catch fire. So you have to know that. And by the way, there's ways to find that out with Google searches and things like that. You can find out how many people are searching for what you have to offer. But unless it's something really obscure, you know, chances are you're just not marketing it correctly.
Yeah, I think I fully agree. All right, Jim, we're going to end off with success and the future. You've done a lot of things. You seem to be involved in doing a lot more things. If for some horrible reason your career was to end today, would you be happy with the legacy you've left up till now?
Yes, I have, because I know for a fact, and I don't say this, you know, because I don't believe in ego stroking, but I've helped a large number of entrepreneurs grow their businesses. I've made a big impact in at least three, you know, charities that we support. I mean, when I say we support, I mean, this is actually a strategy. We don't just write checks when we feel like it. We have money come out of our checking account every month because we've made a commitment. So there's at least three organizations where we're feeding people and helping, you know, unwed pregnant mothers and all these different things that we're passionate about. We're helping those organizations. And, you know, I'm able with the business I have now, if I want to take off and go visit my grandson or go sit on my boat, I can do that. So yeah, I'm not looking to cash out, but if I had to, I've certainly been blessed in a big way.
Beautiful answer. I love it. Jim, we've talked a lot about your businesses in general. Can you leave my audience and tell them specifically where they can find out more about you?
Sure. There's websites for every program, but I'll give you the home base is getjimpalmer.com, www.getjimpalmer.com. And from that site, that's where my blog is. You'll find links to my web TV show, my podcast. You'll see links to No Hassle newsletters, all my books and the coaching program and things like that. So getjimpalmer.com.
Excellent. I will link to that in the show notes so it's easy for everyone to find. Mr. Jim Palmer, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And that was a lot of fun.
It's been a fun interview, John. I really appreciate it. You're awesome. You asked some really great questions. No wonder your fans are loving your show.
Thanks. Jim, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for the brilliant conversation and insights. I know I got a lot out of it. I have a page full of notes here, and there's just so much that could help me in my business. And I loved that part of the conversation about the mastermind group you were in and the value that you get from that or got from that and the insight into how you should be sort of tackling new projects and stuff within your business. But there was one thing that Jim said. It always seems to be this one thing. I have to pick it from four different things I have listed here, but this one that really stuck out to me, that one. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Now, let's be real. If your goal is to sell 20,000 books, I guarantee you can't do business with 20,000 people. And a lot of those people aren't going to be good for your business anyway, right? So I said, what if you sold 100 books and 50 of those people joined your coaching program? Would 50 people joining your coaching program change your world? Say, yeah. I said, then you want to sell 100 books. That's your goal.
And that's the hack. I absolutely love that, Jim. So true. The numbers, it's true. He kind of goes on to explain the numbers don't matter. They're not relevant. You don't have to sell 100 books. Obviously, you have to sell maybe more, but it depends on your business goals. This was something that I ran into when I was starting HTE. You hear about all these people start podcasts and they can get hundreds of thousands, millions of listeners, all this sort of thing. And it's irrelevant to me. It's irrelevant to you. If you want to start a blog, you don't need to be the number one blog. You don't need to have 10,000 people a day coming to your website. You just don't. You need to have your core people that are really engaged in you, what you're doing, what your product is or what your service is. You don't need everyone. You don't even need most people. You just need a few. And how Jim says, 50 people, what if you had a service that paid you and somebody had to pay you $100 a month or $200 a month or $1,000 a month, depending on what your service is? I think if you had only 50 of them and it was $500 a month, yeah, you'd do amazingly. It's the numbers are really like that. You don't need bestsellers. You don't need a million followers. You don't need a million friends on Facebook. You don't need to sell $10,000 worth of stuff every single day. You just need small amounts of stuff. And it just accumulates into such a viable business. And I think that it's how we get stuck because we don't even want to get started because we don't ever think that we will get to this. Why would I write a book if it's not going to be a New York Times bestseller? It's like, well, what is it you want to achieve from that? What is it you want to attain from that? You have to know what you want it to do for you. And it's really like that. Like Jim said, with, well, 20,000, would that help you? It's like, well, no, I couldn't even handle that. But 50, it would be amazing. 50 people from that would be amazing. So it's, I just love the way he says it, because these numbers do need to be broken down to the simplest of, what do you want? It's a brand new year. It's 2015. What do you want to be for your goals? Do you want to make $100,000 in passive income this year? Don't just look at that as a daunting number. Break that down. 365 days, break it down. How much do you have to make per day? Now you want to create a product that is cost $50. How many of those products do you now have to sell per day to make $100,000? It makes everything digestible. It makes your brain be able to solve these things and sort these issues out into small workable pieces. And it just, it makes everything achievable. It makes everything understandable and able just for you to comprehend it in a very just rudimentary, simple, not easy, but simple way. So thank you, Jim, for that, because I truly appreciate that. And I wouldn't be anywhere near where I am in my business if I was still looking at just the big, big numbers and not breaking things down to what I actually need. And I feel that it's something that we all do need to do. So thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. That's it. The end of the first episode of 2015. Thank you so much for just being there listening. I truly, truly, truly appreciate it. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is the site. Get on the email list. It's great. We, every Sunday, I send out an email and getting great feedback, having a lot of fun. You can respond to even the welcome email. Hit me up. Ask me any questions. Tell me you're out there. Send me pictures of where you're listening. Anything you want. I'm so happy to connect with you and get to chat with you about what you're up to and see if there's any way we can help each other going into the new year. It's been a lot of fun. Just thank you so much. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.